Hallelujah. Well, I know where I'm going to be at 6:30 tonight. I've already got a map. My wife has. I don't have it, but she already has a map where we're going tonight. It might be in your group. I don't know. I know what group it is, but I don't know if it's your group or not. But we're going to be in a care meeting because I believe that a church this size really has to have small groups of people before they can have the kind of relationship in the body that needs to be for the growth and development of genuine faith and trust. So it's a good thing to go to care meeting. Amen. I say it's a good thing to go to your care meeting. Amen. A good thing. A good thing. I don't see Sheila right now, but I tell you, that youth choir did a great job. I really appreciate that. Amen. I asked somebody what the name of the young lady was who sang that song, and I didn't get a name. I don't know who it was. What? Tina. Dina. Dina. Great. I'm going to hear her name, I think, some more, because she's got an anointing on her life to sing. Amen. What an anointing. A number of years ago, in our New Year's Eve service, a young lady came to our church and sang a song. Her name was Twyla Paris. Nobody knew her at that time. I knew her dad. But she sang on a New Year's Eve service. And the person leading that, or who was speaking in the service that night, went over to her and said, "God has His hand on your life," words to this effect, "and you're going to be singing all over the nations of the world." Amen. I've got a feeling this young lady is going to be singing far beyond this place. Amen. Because God has His hand on her life. And what a wonderful choir. Early this morning, I came to the office where I spend most of my time during the week. And I was there about 5:30 this morning. And because I wanted to get a word from God. I wanted to hear from the Lord. I've been preaching 54 years, and I've got a whole lot of stuff in me. Good stuff. A whole lot of good messages, but I'm not interested in just getting a sermon. I want a message from God. Amen. I could give you a lot of sermons, but what we need to hear now is a message from God. More than a sermon, more than a good teaching, because anybody can do that. I mean, a lot of people can do that. We've got to hear from God. And while I was there in that place of meditation and waiting on the Lord, I had a mental picture that just came so clearly to my mind. I wouldn't call it a vision. Some people might call it a vision, but I just saw something that was so clear that I knew God was saying something to this body through that picture. And sometimes we can see truth more clearly if we can get a picture of it. We see it now. And what I saw was the ship of Zion. Amen. The ship of Zion. On that ship was the helmsman. Helmsmen. More than one. Because there's always more than one helmsman on board a big ship. Right? Not just one. There's several. Then I saw the crew. And then I saw the passengers on that boat. And when I saw it, I could see that it was in a storm, that the winds were blowing, and the waves were rising up higher and higher. And then I saw the bridge of that ship, and I saw the captain. And who do you think it was? It was none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was the captain. The ship was in a storm because the helmsman on duty had to be replaced. And suddenly, the people, the passengers, and the crew began to feel a sense of fear and anxiety and wonder what's going to happen now. Then appears on the scene an old gray-headed man. And he has been temporarily installed as the helmsman. Because we're in rough waters. And these other helmsmen felt like they needed a little more experienced person at the wheel. But I can tell you, it don't matter who's at the wheel. He's got to be able to hear the captain. Amen. He's got to be able to hear what the captain is saying, because he doesn't have the wheel. The helmsman has the wheel. He's the captain. And he gives the orders to the helmsman, and he steers the ship wherever the captain directs. And if somehow, somewhere along the way, there's an interruption of communication between the helmsman and the captain, then you've got something to worry about. But I can tell you, the captain is still on board. Amen. He's still on board. He's still on the bridge. And he's got helmsman at the wheel. And this ship is going through the storm. Hallelujah. Now there are passengers on board. And maybe even some of the crew on board. That is beginning to say, we need to leave this thing right now. We need to jump overboard. Did you hear me? There's some passengers that may be thinking, what we need to do is jump ship. You mean in the midst of the storm with the captain still on the bridge? Amen? He's still right where he was. And you didn't get on this ship to go halfway. It's going to make it all the way through the storm to the other side. Hallelujah. But there's always those on board that get all upset and anxious because of the call the captain made. Maybe didn't agree with the captain. Maybe didn't really trust the captain. Amen. And suddenly they think the only answer is to abandon ship. And I see one jump overboard. He's sure he's right. He jumps overboard, and as he's going down the third time, he says, don't trust the captain. Now I call that stupidity. That's not ignorance, that's stupidity. Because when the ship is in the storm is not the time to abandon it. Amen. Never is time to abandon it, because this is the only one that's going all the way through. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Lord, we just declare that in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So I want you to get that, just keep that little picture in mind as we go through the rest of the message that I believe God has given me for you this morning. I want to go back to that same scripture we've been referring to for the last 3 weeks, that one that's found in James chapter 5, verse 16. The effectual, fervent, heartfelt prayer of a person in right standing with God demonstrated, amen, demonstrated by obedience, loving obedience to the will of God as revealed in His Word. That person's prayer is mighty, is powerful, is effective. It's going to accomplish things. Amen. Now that's what the Scripture says, and in this, a part of the effectiveness of prayer is dependent upon the faith of the person who is praying. And all of us have faith in some measure, right? Because Scripture says in the 12th chapter of Romans that God has given to every one of us, every passenger on this boat has faith. Amen. I wouldn't say they all have the same amount, but they all have enough. Amen. It doesn't take any more than what you have. If it's little, that's all right, because God responds to the prayers of people whose faith is simply as a grain of mustard seed. So faith is not the problem. We have faith, and we know it takes faith to please God. But the big problem is not a lack of faith. It is the presence of doubt. And when we get in storms, doubt begins to arise in our minds. And we begin to wonder. We begin to feel some degree of fear in our lives. And doubt produces a kind of anxiety. And we're not sure what's going to happen next. Let me encourage you, keep your eye on the bridge. That's where the captain is. Oh, you'll hear all kinds of clamor among passengers at times. Keep your eye on the bridge. And when somebody is coming with a negative word suggesting maybe that we need to jump overboard, your message is, keep your eye on the bridge. He's still there. And I saw His face. And it's not filled with anxiety and fear. Amen. When you see His face, you'll rest. Because you know that He knows what He's doing. Amen. And if He wants to replace the helmsman, that's all right. And I'm going to say it again. He doesn't have to explain to me why He does it. He's the captain. It's His ship. We're the passengers. We're totally relying upon His ability to get us through the storm. We are trusting, but doubt comes. Now we have faith, but we also have doubt. The only difference is that doubt is in the head. Faith is in the heart. And sometimes the doubt that is in our head begins to dominate the faith that is in our heart. And when doubt in the head dominates the faith that is in the heart, all kinds of feelings of fear and anxiety and wonder and trouble begins to come into the spirit, because now my spirit is being, that has faith, is being dominated by my head that is full of doubt. Amen. So I want to help you with that this morning. I want to help you, first of all, to understand that to doubt is human. It is normal. I know we're in the faith capital. Amen. And you hear all the time, well, if you can't have faith and have doubt at the same time, where'd you see that in the Bible? I don't see that. Amen. I don't see that in the Scriptures. I think, in fact, I'm certain that you can have faith and doubt at the very same time. But one of those factors will dominate your actions at any given point in time. Amen. But it's there, and it's human. It's human to doubt. And in fact, it's probably wise for us to, at times, have doubt. Questions. Not of God. Up in Arkansas, we call a person that never questions or doubts anything, we call them gullible. You can sell them anything. Doesn't matter. I mean, just gobble it up. Just gobble it down. No, it's all right to question. It's all right maybe even to doubt. But if I begin to be dominated by the doubts, then my walk of faith is hindered, and I'm not going to be able to walk in victory until faith again reigns. Now you can see that if you'll study the Scriptures, you can clearly see that people who have faith also have doubt, and it's there at the very same moment in people's lives, and you can see what is dominating the situation. If we take, for example, first that incident that is recorded in the book of Matthew, where Jesus had left the multitude, he'd been speaking to thousands of people, and when he had finished speaking and then feeding them and sent them away, he went up into the mountain, into a mountain where he was going to spend the night in prayer. Before he left, he sent his disciples. He asked them to get into the boat and go over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And that they proceeded to do in obedience to what the Lord had said. He's gone now. He's up in the place of prayer. And they're in the boat on their way to the other side. Well, the Scripture says the winds were contrary. Sometimes you can be right in the center of the will of God and meet up with contrary winds. Amen? They were doing exactly what they were told to do. They were following the Lord as nearly as they knew how, and yet they came up against stormy winds. Now it was dark, very dark, the fourth watch of the night, when suddenly in the darkness of the night, they saw a white-clad figure out on the water some distance from the boat. Being mariners, they immediately jumped to the conclusion that it was a ghost. Superstitious, they thought they were seeing a ghost out there and were just about ready to abandon ship when they heard a voice. And the voice said, "Don't be afraid, it's me. It's Jesus." Hallelujah. In the midst of the storm, he cried out, "Don't be afraid. I'm here." Amen. And Peter, by now he's really straining. I mean, He's looking just as careful as he can. He said, Lord, if that's you out there, bid me come to you on the water. And he heard one word, come. Oh, that so inspired him that before he thought of the potential consequences, he was over the side of the boat and he was walking right out toward the Lord. And suddenly, he came to himself. His head kicked in. He was walking on faith, but suddenly his mind kicked in and began to say, this is dangerous. This is not good. I mean, look at these waves. Feel this spray hitting me. This is not good. And when his mind kicked in, he's knee deep. I mean, he's going down and he knows it. He's about to go under. And so he cried, Lord, save me. I think that's faith. Amen. Oh, it's desperation too, but it's faith. Yeah, he was desperate, but he knew who to call to when he was desperate. Do you? Amen. He cried out to the one that could do something about his condition. And he says, Lord, save me. And suddenly, Jesus was right there. Got him by the hand. I'm sure glad Jesus wasn't a faith teacher. Else he would have said, drown, you doubter, you. No, he got him by the hand. And he just took him by the hand and got him up. And now they're walking toward the boat. And Jesus, with just a little smile in the corner of his mouth, says, Peter, why did you doubt? And Peter, though he was always quick to answer, even before anybody asked a question, sometimes having nothing to say, the Scripture said he said. Amen. And Jesus said, why did you doubt? But Peter never made any attempt to answer that because it is an unanswerable question. You can be walking on water. You can be doing the impossible. And all at once, your head kicks in. And you start thinking, that's not possible. But when he cried out, save me, Jesus was there. Amen. Jesus was there. Not there to chide with him, but to get him stabilized and get him on the way back to the boat. Can you imagine what those guys on the boat were thinking when Peter jumped out and headed across? You know what they did? Here's what they did. Oh, there he goes again. Always making a show of himself. Look at it. He won't make it. You just wait and see. He'll go under. And secretly hoping that he did or that he would. Because that's the way people are. There's people right now prophesying about this church. And anybody that prophesies wants their prophecy to come true and will do everything they can to make it come true. Say amen, Brother Bob. That's the way it really is. Yes, we're in a storm. But Jesus said, come on. We're not going under. We're going over. We're going to the other side. We're going to make it all the way. Because the captain is still on the bridge. Don't matter who's at the helm. The only one that can replace him is the captain. And if for his own reasons, he replaces the helmsman, it's not the business of the pastor, of the passengers, to have to understand why. Amen. Trust the captain. This is the way to go on that one. Amen. You trust because, you see, faith is absolutely essential if we're going to be able to have any peace in this crossing we're on. We've got to trust the one, not who is at the helm, but on the bridge. Because I'm going to promise you, anyone who is at the helm has the potential to fail. Because the truth of the matter is, we've all got feet of clay all the way up to the armpits. Amen. We all have the potential to fail. And I remember hearing someone say, well, I'm not too surprised about Jim Baker. I kind of thought maybe that might happen to him. But she said, if Jimmy Swaggart ever falls, now that's going to be it. I don't know if I can handle that or not. And that was about a month before he also was exposed. And when all that happened, I remember one day I was saying, Lord, what you knew about this. You knew about this before you ever called them. And yet you called them. You called them. You anointed them. They did a great work for you. Now Lord, why is this? Why do you call that kind of people? He said, that's the only kind of God. I don't have anyone else. Amen. We all have that potential. We could all fail. And most of us do. It just doesn't come to light. When it does, of course, it messes things up. Amen. Are you getting something here? Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, we're going on to the other side. Yes, we struggle with doubts. And particularly when someone that we trust fails. Because we tend to have, as human beings, we tend to have unrealistic expectations. And when our expectation level is too high, we've set ourselves as a candidate for disappointment or disillusionment. You see, God is never disillusioned with anything that any of us do because He had no illusions about us to begin with. Amen. See, so He's never disillusioned. He's always known from the beginning. And thank God, our failures do not disqualify us to do a great work. But when we fail and our failures become public, it's not that God removes us all because of something we did to Him. It's because we've lost credibility with the people that we must lead. And when that happens, we have to be replaced until we can regain the kind of confidence that is required to stand at the helm. Can anybody understand what I'm saying here today? Amen. I like that. Who said that? I'm for that. Amen, Brother Bob. It's right. It is right. And it is easy to understand. And it'd be absolutely stupid to say, well, I'm getting off this thing. Yep, it would be. Because it's His. He's still right where He's been all the time. He hadn't moved. He's right up there. He's still in charge. Oh, the waves are high. And some of us who don't understand everything, we might get a little concerned here. But I've seen some big old waves in my lifetime. And I know there's just one thing that I have to do is keep my eye on the captain, my ear attuned to what he is saying, because he never has lost a ship yet. Hallelujah. And never will. Hallelujah. But we have to struggle with the doubt part of it. You see, it's there. It doesn't make us an inferior Christian. It doesn't say we don't have faith. It just says, now I've got to be careful lest I allow the doubt that is in my head to dominate the trust that I have in the captain of this boat and cause me to make a real foolish decision. Have you got it? Amen? Has it come deep into your spirit now? That'll get you in care meeting tonight. Amen. It'll put you there because everything's just the same. And I don't want to have to hear about people thinking they got to talk all about this nonsense. Amen. Because those people don't know. Think they know, they don't know. And if you've got your eye focused on something other than the captain, then you're distressed about that, say all kinds of things, and maybe you're about ready to jump over. You know what's going to happen to people who leave the boat? I remember Paul saying one time when they were in the midst of a big storm, he said, if you want to stay alive, stay with the boat. Stay with it. Because I can't promise anything to you. If you abandon ship, you're probably going to die. This is pretty good stuff, isn't it? Amen. This is what the Lord said this morning. I mean, that's what He said this morning. This is not my standard sermon for this occasion. Because there's never been an occasion exactly like this. But the Lord knows how to handle it. He's up on the bridge. And even though we have a different helmsman right now, there's no question that He's still in control. Yes, let's give Him praise. Hallelujah. Let's give Him glory. He's the one that is worthy. Oh, hallelujah. We lift up our praise to You, O Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the name of Jesus.